We are finished a series, and we've kind of went through Easter and into Pentecost, and now for the next couple of weeks, we'll be doing some one-off sermons on different things, and I thought today, because we are going to be celebrating or participating or observing, however you want to say it, the Lord's Supper, that I would preach on the Lord's Supper. And don't worry, it's not the same sermon that I used during awkward month, October. But as I was looking at this, I was like, you know, there's still things that we can all learn. And I'm learning new things or different perspective in this way. But it's also for, you know, the ones in the back, some of our younger ones, trying a bit of a teaching. What is the Lord's Supper? Why do we do this? What does this look like? And so once a month, that's the regular rhythm that we currently use right now. Once a month, we participate in the Lord's Supper. Sometimes we call it communion, or in different faith traditions, it might have been different denomination traditions, it would be called the Holy Communion, or maybe even the Eucharist. And where we display here, I didn't have it for us today because I thought it would just keep it super simple, but we display juice or wine and also bread, right? Today we're using gluten-free bread that we are able to pass through. And Tracy, we've learned that gluten-free bread gets really dry pretty quickly. So this is why we actually put cellophane over top of this to make sure it's not too dry for that we don't have to drink too much juice once we've had the bread. But we've done that. We've done it in different ways. If you've been here, you're reminded that we've had other times where it's been right in the middle of the table. The Lord's Supper, the communion, has been right in the middle with all kinds of bread and different kinds of bread, and then we throw in jam and butter, or we've had big pitchers of juice. We haven't done the wine yet, although COVID, do you know one time we did do wine? Do you know that? We had it. I think we had an option for it, and then we had a little bit of leftover, and I asked who wanted this, and it was good. Debbie McDougall said, I will, so we gave her the Holy Communion wine to take home. And different churches might even have wine or the option of juice for people. Now, we use juice right now because it's a simpler way to do it, in a sense, but also it maybe if someone has been working through alcoholism, we don't want to trigger any of that, so we have that option. So we don't always, again, we don't always display it in the same way, but we will always have some form of bread and some sort form of juice, in a sense. Grape and grain, ordinary elements to reflect on something that's actually very extraordinary. And it's a symbol, but it's also an image. Now, other, such as the Catholic Church, they might believe in, I don't know so much about it, but transubstantiation, where they would believe that there is, in the actual body and blood, once it's blessed and given, that would be actually somehow the mystery of God would be the actual blood and body of Jesus. Our tradition doesn't adhere to that, but I think maybe sometimes we've gone in such a way that it's only a symbol. I would say it's not just a symbol. I was talking to someone this morning where it's also an image. There's an image happening, and there's probably more mystery there that's happening than we would like to think. And so I'm hoping that we can maybe look at some of this. In the last year or so, we've had homemade juice that's been made by Brian and Betty. Grapes that they've had from their yard that they've taken with care, and they've worked and they've put together juice that we use. Actually, I was gonna, Christine has it in the back. I forgot to bring it up here, but that's the juice that we, yes, Tracy's holding it up. And then sometimes we'll just use Welch's grape juice, or sometimes we'll use, today I think you're gonna, it's actually dare I say, it's cranberry juice. So, ooh. And so what I'm getting at is that sometimes it's we use elements that point to the body and the blood of Jesus. And this is a beautiful picture. So I want to concentrate on this question. Why do we do this? Why do we do this? I would say that we do it out of three things, three reasons why. Out of obedience, remembrance, and thanksgiving. Obedience, remembrance, and thanksgiving. What I'm going to read for us is 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. It would also be called, some scholars call it the institutions. This is actually one of the first teachings of Jesus that that Paul was writing. Paul was writing this, but it's actually before the Gospels had been written, AD 53 or so. And Jesus and Paul is writing these words of Jesus for the church. And he says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So there's a portion of this that we do this out of obedience. Jesus says, take, eat, do this. And so the church, in its wisdom, has continued that tradition from the first Passover, the first Passover that Jesus, in a sense, re-imaged for the church. We keep taking, we keep eating, we keep drinking until Jesus returns. And the more that we do this, the more, the hope is, the more that we will do the other commands, Jesus commands us to do this, but more that we would do the other commands that Jesus says are the greatest. In that same upper room, when he says, after the taking, after him, the Passover, and him doing the first communion at that time, later on he says these words of loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love in a new way, which he says the new commandment, loving your neighbor as yourself. And so as we take communion, we're reminded in our obedience as we take, we're reminded who Jesus is and his commands. His biggest commands are loving one another, loving God, and loving one another. And so we take it in obedience. In obedience, faithful obedience, and the image gets a hold of us in this. Also, we take it to remember, because guess what? We forget a lot. I don't know about you, I'm becoming more forgetful. I think I'm becoming more wise, but more forgetful, I think. I hope. Do you think so, Cher? Maybe, she's not sure. Yeah, I got one of these. So more forget, we forget. And sometimes we forget the core of who we are. Sometimes we forget what God is working and doing in the world. And we want to do things our own way. We want to do things the way of the world. We want to do things. We want to seize things. We want to be selfish. No. God reminds us here that we keep doing this as we remember who Jesus is. Now, the reminder, who is Jesus? The full representation of God. Jesus is the full representation of the divine for us to be able to see, have a grasp of this mystery. Jesus is still full of mystery because he's a person. Ask the person next to you, have you fully got to know this person, even if you've been married 30, 40, 30 years? Maybe you're not married, but maybe as your deep, deep friend, have you really? No, they're full of mystery. And Jesus is full of mystery still, yet he's fully revealed who God is in the person of Jesus Christ for us. And so we do this in remembrance of me, Jesus says. So what does that mean? What does in remembrance of me mean? We do this to remind us and the world. It's not just to remind us. We do this also as a, in a sense, maybe it's a prophetic prayer or a prophetic revelation of who God is every week. Think about that. If you think about it, there are Christians, billions of Christians around the world meeting right now, had met earlier, had met in different times, that are meeting, that are breaking bread or crackers or and are pouring juice and are doing this in remembrance of Jesus, to be reminded of who he is. It's a concrete way to be reminded of the love and sacrifice of God revealed to the world, and we are a part of that, you and me, revealed to the world in the person of Jesus Christ. And so this is a beautiful thing that we relive the past in a sense. We remember. We relive the past. The harshness of the crucifixion which Jesus suffered and endured. Jesus taking the pain and the sin of the world onto himself, absorbing all of that on behalf of us, but also of the world. Sometimes when we say the world can be so far out there. It is the world, but it's also us. It's you and me. So we personalize it, yet we still keep it open for everyone to be reminded that everyone is invited to this table that's for the world. It's to be reminded of this past. For you, for me, amazing love, how can it be? We sing that song. We're reminded not only when Trev or other leaders lead us of who we are and who God is, we are ultimately reminded who God is and what God looks like here fully. It's interesting that, and I'll come back to it, and we also know and understand the resurrection. And as I mentioned this during Eastertide season, I've been thinking about that a lot, the resurrection, how the resurrection actually points back to the cross. The resurrection says, see my hands and my side? Look at this. This is how you need to live. The resurrection always points back to the cross. And yes, there's victory in it, but the victory is something that maybe is that in the absorbing of the sin and the violence that Jesus has, that it looks that winning looks totally different than what we think it is. So it's really interesting that the wisdom of the church and the church tradition and all the denominations over the years, what is the main symbol that we partake in once for us once a month, some churches every week? It's the body and blood of Jesus, representing who God is, who fully revealed himself to us in the being a God who's loving and caring and doesn't want to pour out retributive violence or retributive justice, but absorbs it in a way that says, this is who I look like. I find it intriguing that we're not doing something about the resurrection every month. We're not doing something, some sacrament about the resurrected, but we know that. I'm not belittling that, but it always comes back to this is the symbol of who our God is. And that keeps us grounded because it's a God who is actually with us in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of maybe our pain, our loneliness, or harsh things that have happened to us. He says, I'm with you. And yet in the midst of that, then what? We remember what happened. We also remember the past, but we remember what is going to happen. We remember the future. And so in the midst of when we recognize and we receive this, the forgiveness of sins, and this also points us to the future. Jesus who dies is the Jesus who is coming again. And until he comes, he is the victorious king. And we see pockets of God's revealing of who God is, the inbreaking of the kingdom here and now, but it's going to be fully revealed at some day, and guess what? We don't get to know when that is. And yet we long for it, we pine for it, we pray for it, all of creation's groaning for it to happen. And so we can be included in that. And so this supper also looks forward. He says, do this in remembrance of me. But it's a remembering that Jesus is actually saying, I'm coming back again. And in the midst of that, there's this phrase or a prayer that the early church had. It was Maranatha. Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus, come. There was this prayer that there was, yes, but God would come by his Holy Spirit now in our present lives, Maranatha, but also the prayer, Maranatha, until the day that you reign supreme. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. And so we can take it with this Maranatha understanding that we don't know what the future holds. Some of us might know a few things. We got a few things planned. But we all know that those plans can be uprooted in an instant. We don't know what the future holds, but we know the one who holds the future. And as we hold the bread in the cup, I hope that today, even as it's such a small, I wish it would maybe at some point, I'm always the one that like have a big glass of juice and a big hunk of bread. But as you hold the bread and the juice today, may you, as you're holding it, before we take it, may you understand and see that the one that you are holding is holding you. The one that has been given to us and suffered so much, this is the mystery of God, as you are holding the elements, God is holding you. And we say, keep doing this, Jesus. Continue to hold us, and that you would come. Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come. And we do it as we remember also then the present. So we bring this present. It brings us to this unseen reality of the present. We do this in remembrance that yes, we understand this, in a sense, the wisdom of the church calendar, that we are right now in ordinary time. So this is when Jesus has now, the disciples have waited for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come on them, and now they're just in ordinary time, or second week of Pentecost. Or is it third week? I think it's second week of Pentecost. And so now we continue in this, knowing that the Spirit of God is with us, teaching us to continue to love one another, but love in such a way that we love the other than the one another. We're going to hear more of that. I'm working through this understanding of it. What does that look like for the church to reveal this to the world? And it's a mystery. And there's more present in this moment than sometimes we actually can see or understand. There's probably many of you that have moments in your lives where you're like, God just spoke to me in different ways, or I sense God's presence, or maybe through a person, or maybe just in a moment in this way. It's a mystery. And our story of our own lives is being integrated with God's story. Our past is being redeemed by his past. Our future is secure with his future. And our present is enveloped in the presence of God with us as well. And so what did that mean for us? So in the remembering, we remember who Jesus is, and that's it. Lastly would be this. We do this out of thanksgiving. The word Eucharist that other traditions use, it's an interesting word. It's a Greek word that simply means thanksgiving. Had anyone heard, maybe you have, like, have you heard the word Eucharist before? Some, right. And then that's another word that people will use for communion or the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. And in the mystery of the Eucharist, Christ chooses to make himself present to humanity by what? Ordinary elements, whatever was there. And through the grain and the grape, we find Christ present in the world. And it's interesting that the grain and the grape, it's not unprocessed. You didn't say, here's a wheat kernel, and here's a grape. It's not there's some work that had to be done, right? In the sense, the work of Jesus reveals himself, that he's pressed out, that there is this, then the work that Jesus is giving his the bread of life, and bread takes a while to work in the midst of it. And so we come to the communion table and we see this bread or grape and grain or bread and wine. And it comes from where? It comes from God's good earth. It's a beautiful picture. And it's a result of what? It's a result of humans actually making the bread. With Brian and Betty making this juice for us. And for us as to receive it as a sacrament in this way. And so there's a beautiful mystery that's happening in our lives and has enormous implications for us as we live and be and have our being. As I was prepping this, lately I've been becoming more grounded with our dog Gus. There's other problems with Gus that happen, right? But sometimes when the stars align, I would say, but also I say, when I may be paying attention, there's a beauty to walking with my dog. And then he likes to now like sit in the long grass. And then when he sits down, now instead of me yanking and going, let's go. Now, sometimes you got to do that. But other times we go to Derek Doubleday Park in Langley. And sometimes I just sit down with him. And then I'm hoping, please don't let there be any ticks here. I sit down with him. And then just yesterday, as I was doing this, I was dumbfounded, and it's not going to show up great here, but there's a video of Derek Doubleday has done some great job, and they just took a big area and they threw a whole bunch of seed down. And this is an area where you're not allowed to walk through. They've trenched it, but you're able to see it's just a bunch of wild flowers full of beauty. And you might not be able to see it, or might not be able to catch it, because a lot of times the grass now is really long, and instead of cutting it, they're leaving it for the pollinators to come. And so you might miss it along the way. But then when you find it, you come and you're like, wow. Oh, and there's another area. And I just sat there being thankful for flowers. And I don't want to seem over spiritual, because I don't think it's very spiritual, but it seems very spiritual. But I was just like, I was amazed with everything. I was like, there are these beautiful flowers here with us that are pointing us to the good God who is the creator of all of that. And I wonder, this is what I'm pondering now. I'm wondering, as we receive the elements like we do each month, and we're the picture of who Jesus is towards us, one who has forgiven us, one who wants to work his will and way in us to allow us to flourish, to have the church filled with the Holy Spirit in a way that they want other people to flourish. And I wonder, as I'm forgiven and as I forgive other people, I wonder if I'm actually to be a more of a thankful person. I don't have to get so hung up on some of the hard stuff that has happened. I need to get hung up if it's big enough. But it allows me to be a thankful person in life. I can be a non-anxious presence around others, just like the good God is in Jesus Christ is to us through the Holy Spirit. And I think the Eucharist, that name, there's something to do with that. That in the midst of God's love for us, his forgiveness of sin towards us, the revelation of that God is holding his outstretched hands to us, that his body was given to us, and his blood was shed. And as I take it, and I'm taking it with thankfulness, and I say, God, as I'm holding you, in a sense, a symbol of you, you're holding me? And as he does a good work in me, I'm hopefully not just able to see the flowers and be thankful for it, but I'm able to see each of you and be thankful for you. Be thankful for my neighbor. Be thankful for the potential, even though I see the harsh. Who sees the bad in people? Come on, don't lie. Yeah, absolutely. Right? But I wonder if the Eucharist, it's the whole revelation is God coming to earth to be able to see something and wanting us to work in such a way that there's potential to reveal the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven and offer that opportunity for other people. And so as I receive that, what does it look like for me then to receive it and to do the same? Not just in the flowers, but in the beauty of each of you. So might we be able to see the beauty in other people, even though it's something that just drive us crazy? And how does that then move us into then remembering Jesus and remembering the commands of Jesus to love God with all our hearts, everything that we have, and to love others as ourselves? That's the stuff I'm working with right now. And I'm like, it's hard for me to explain it to you right now because I don't know if I have all the words, but I was like dumbfounded as I was prepping this week. And I was like, I hope I can communicate just a little bit. The Eucharist. Oh, God loves you so much. There's so much beauty in you. He's the creator God. There's so much. And God reveals himself, his love towards us, and he's able to take what isn't beautiful in us and redeem it into something staggering. And yet we always mess up along the way. And what does it look like us then to continue to forgive one another and to continue the work of Jesus? Well, friends, I totally went off script here. I'm not even going to get the rest of this. Is this. I have a quote here. It's not on the screen. It's from one of my favorite authors, Brian Zahn. He says this: the scent of God can be detected in the smell of a newborn baby. Oh, hey, I saw people around the newborn baby. What a beautiful picture that was. And through the sweat of a carpenter. I'll start again. The scent of God can be detected in the smell of a newborn baby, in the sweat of a carpenter, in the baking of bread and wine fermenting. If we walk in the 21st century on the Emmaus Road, he's alluding to Luke here, thinking that God is absent and the mission has failed, we will be deeply disappointed. But if we can learn to recognize Jesus in another form and see him revealed in the breaking of bread, our hearts will burn with joy. And would we be able to see God in other places and other ways because we have received God here today? And so we remember the cross is God's self-disclosure, self-giving, radically forgiving love. And it is the way of love in which he died that we see Jesus Christ is the Son of God who has conquered darkness, dread, and death. Communion is now about our thanksgiving participation in God's love, mercy, and forgiveness. And so we receive it with joy and with gratitude. Friends, this is what we are to do. And the awkwardness of COVID has changed us forever. So here, I'm going to do this too, because I realized I licked the page, didn't I? And we're going to pass this around. We will, again, pass the elements around and through one another. If you're able to and you're okay with it, you could just give it to in silence, but you could also say this: the mystery of God revealed. The mystery of God revealed. Or if you want to say Christ's body, Christ's blood, you can say that too as you do this. I'm going to put on screen our invitation that we have, that we've used here for years. It comes from the Iona community, and it simply says this. This is the table not of the church, but of Jesus Christ. It is to be made ready for those who love God and who want to love God more. So come, you who have much faith and you who have little. You who have been here often and you have not been here for a long time. You who have tried to follow and you who have failed. Come not because I invite you. It is God, and it is God's will that you who want God should meet God here. And as you take it, maybe you be reminded as you hold the elements, be reminded that God is holding your future.